joins us now. Hey, Mark, it's Anthony and Christina. Thanks for joining us today on Express Bet Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The good old Gray Boy World Approval got it done again. Man, he just shows up year in and year out. He runs in the biggest races on turf in this country, and he always comes with 100%.
He does. He's a hard-trying horse. Hopefully, we gave him a little break this winter, and you know, his first two races back have been really good. Hopefully, his next one's even bigger.
What are you thinking about next for him? You going to try and defend that United Nations, or is there something in between?
No, he's going to go to the Manhattan.
Oh, great.
We're hoping for a big Belmont weekend.
Yeah, well, with Divisadero and Beach Patrol, the 1-2 finishes from the Turf Classic on Derby Day. You guys were forced, you scratched out that afternoon. A nice little rematch of what should have been on that Derby undercard. That makes for a nice little renewal of the mile and a quarter Manhattan here at Big Sandy.
It is. You know, and those horses are at the top of their game, and I think ours is. And should be an interesting afternoon.
That's World Approval, so we get to see him on Belmont Stakes Day here at Belmont Park, June 10th. Just about 17 days away. I guess the bigger question is, will Preakness runner-up Classic Empire be running in the race following the Manhattan, which is traditionally the 149th Belmont Stakes?
Well, we're making plans to be there. So as long as Classic Empire continues to tell us he wants to be there, that's the plan.
Came out of the race well, I'm assuming?
He did. He did. He's back at home in Kentucky, just kind of taking it easy. And probably the plan would be similar to what we did for Pimlico. Probably would come up to Belmont maybe Monday or so before the race, 5 or 6 days before the race.
Mark, are you at all worried about the mile and a half?
No, not really. You know, I think a mile and a half is an entirely different type of race. If I had any concern at all, it would be, you know, I'd like to see a little pace to run at and whether he'll, you know, we sharpened him up pretty good for the Preakness. My only worry would be if he kind of was a little sharp and wanted to take off. My feeling, so many times you always hear, oh, the horse is running at the end of the Derby, a mile and a quarter, or the Preakness. They're going to love the mile and a half. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. So the Belmont, a lot of times with a mile and a half, has a little more to do with speed. So I think, you know, just getting him to relax. I don't see why he's going to have any more trouble than anybody else going a mile and a half. So, no, it's not really a worry.
Was being on the chase the game plan in the Preakness? I think a lot of people, including myself, I was really surprised that Conquest Mo Money wasn't on the lead. I was surprised that Always Dreaming was on the lead, and I was surprised you guys were on the chase. Was that the plan, to be more aggressive than he'd been?
Well, we definitely were. You know, first, we'll go back to the Derby. Our plan was to be aggressive in the Derby.
Okay.
We had planned on being, you know, third or fourth early on in the Derby. If you watched his race in the Breeders' Cup, which was his best race up to, I probably the Preakness, he was aggressive early. We kind of got shuffled back at Oaklawn, so that's why we weren't, you know, a little closer then, and then obviously, everybody knows what happened to us at the Derby. So our conversation was this between Julie and I. I said, I think Conquest Mo Money is going to be on the lead, or if nothing else, running head-to-head with Always Dreaming. And Julian said, I don't think so. I don't think that Conquest Mo Money has the speed to run with Always Dreaming. And I said, if Always Dreaming's up by himself, go ahead and, you know, stay close to him. So that was, That was the conversation. We felt like we weren't going to let Always Dreaming get away. The problem is, and I don't think enough of this has been said, is that, let's face it, Always Dreaming is a great horse, very good horse. He didn't show up on Saturday. I don't think anybody, I think Todd will tell you that. I think Johnny will tell you that. If he'd run just a little farther, I think we would have been the winner of the Preakness. The problem is, you know, Always Dreaming called it a day, maybe around the 5-16th pole, and here we are on the lead. And Julian, obviously, he went ahead and had to. It wasn't so much of opening up as I think Always Dreaming kind of called it a day. And so the next thing you do, you're up running head and head with a horse, and you look up and he's gone. Well, what was Julian supposed to do? Grab him and back up with him? it just happened. That's what happened, and I think it cost us the race. I mean, Chad's horse, no doubt about it, ran a huge race, came up, ran us down. So take nothing away from him. I just think our horse may have lost a little focus as well when there was nothing to run at.
Talking with trainer Mark Cassie, of course, his runner Classic Empire, second in the Preakness, won the Dixie the race before with world approval. I'm paraphrasing here, Mark. Before the Preakness, when you guys decided to go ahead after the tough trip in the Derby, said something to the effect that you thought you had the best three-year-old and you wanted to go and prove it. Do you feel Classic Empire did that on Saturday?
Well, I think he did. So did the voters. They voted Monday morning.
I was just about to say that.
Three-year-old, yeah, the best, who is the best three-year-old North America is, and it's Classic Empire. And more importantly, this is a horse that, you know, he was there at two. He's a solid horse. He shows up every time. The only bad race he ever ran, and it wasn't awful, was in the Holy Bull. And given that he couldn't walk 3 days later, I'm going to give him a pass on that one. I don't know how he ran as well as he did. So here's a horse that shows up time after time. This is not only a horse. He broke his maiden going 4.5 furlongs. He's ran at Churchill Downs. He's ran at in California. He's running at Oakland. He's running at Gulfstream. We're not going to count the one he ran at Saratoga. He's shown up on sloppy tracks, fast tracks. He showed up at Pimlico. I don't see any other three-year-olds out there that can say the same.
Well, you've done a hell of a job with him. The turmoil he's been through all year, and the job you've done with him, and maybe getting him a Grade One win, he'll be one of the favorites, if not the favorite here for the test of the champion. It looks like it's just going to be you and looking at Lee, Classic Empire, looking at Lee to be the only two horses,
really?
If both of you stay the course, to run in both races.
I haven't really heard. I just want to say one thing. I appreciate, you know, you saying what a good job we've done, and I appreciate that. But it takes a great horse to be able to overcome the things that he's overcome. So I appreciate you saying that we've done a good job, but we have a great horse, which makes the job much easier.
Well, like you said, the NTRA voters, we seem to agree. 21 first-place votes to Classic Empire, 15 for Always Dreaming, and then 3 for Cloud Computing. That's the 1-2-3, 405 points overall. Classic Empire right now, if you will, into the on the turn after the front nine, your leader going into
we still have a lot of holes left.
A lot of holes left to play. Absolutely do. Mark, thanks for some time today. Again, great job with them, and we look forward to seeing you. You know, you've been on the program probably a half a dozen times now. You never tell me no. You and I have never met. I look forward to meeting you Belmont week.
Well, sounds like a plan.
All right. We'll see you then. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you too.
Mark.
Bye.